Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an Hour of Mind Power. And today we're going to be talking about animals. My guest, T.J. Banks, the author of Cat Song, well, she has a passion for some furry critters that we refer to as kitty cats, or cats, however you want to address them. T.J., welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I notice there's a bit of a time delay with the phone line that we have, so
yes.
We may just have to make sure that we don't talk over each other. I know sometimes that happens with phone connections. TJ, you have authored a number of different books, and you've been in journals and anthologies. You have been in Chicken Soup for the Single Parent Soul and Guide Coast Comfort from Beyond series. You've gotten a lot of awards for your work from the Cat Writers Association, Byline, and The Writing Self, and you live in Connecticut. How is it that cats have captured your heart? Because you weren't always so fond of cats. What made you change your mind?
Oh, actually, there must be some misinformation around, because I've always been an animal person. And we've always had cats. When I was growing up, we had cats and dogs.
Well, then that was a misunderstanding on my part, because I thought you were a real lover of dogs, and then cats just sort of wormed their way, if you will, it's an odd analogy, into your heart. That's quite all right. And you said that with this book, Cat Song, which is a collection of stories about these wonderful, wonderful creatures. It took you about 18 years to put this together.
Well, they were just short pieces I was writing. I've had a couple novels out, and sometimes when you're working on a novel, it's nice to do some short pieces as a little respite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't lose track of where you are, and in the beginning, that's how I got my bylines, by doing the short pieces.
Now, in the book, Cat Song, you have a number of pieces of art. Are these pieces of art that you yourself did?
No. The artist, Gertie McClinchy, I believe it's pronounced, she is, I believe, from Connecticut, but she came up with those pretty much on her own. There's only one that's based on a photo of one of the cats we have.
Now, with each of these stories, you have a special message in each one of them. And when you collected these, the Czar cat, tell us about your Czar cat, because he's just got his own special story.
Well, he was the first special cat. Like I said, we had always grown up with animals. I can't remember a time when there wasn't one. And he was the first one that was really mine, and I think I learned a little about how animals enhance your life. This sounds odd because I was a child at the time, but I think he gave me the glimmerings of the notion that there is a kind of silent communication that goes on between animals and people.
Well, with Czar, you say with the Czar cat that he was a ladies' man.
Yes, he was.
So tell us how he was a ladies' man.
Well, back then, people weren't as good about spaying and neutering. Nobody really thought of it, I believe, for the most part. It took a while to get that message across, and he was definitely not neutered and fathered many, many kittens. Today,
so you recognize the number of them over the years?
Oh, yeah, they usually had his markings and his coloring.
Usually had his markings. you said with Zarkat, he taught you how to speak cat. What is that? When you say that he taught you how to speak cat, what were you implying with?
Yeah, I think what I meant was I started to understand some of how they communicate with us when they want something or when they're trying to convey something, a feeling. I see it much more with the cats I have now, and of course I'm older. But I think he made me realize that cats or dogs aren't just toys, that they are companions, and as I said, they have their way of conveying different feelings.
I know with all of the animals that I've had, and we have not had very much in the way of cats over the years ourselves, but because of our lifestyle. However, with the cats that we did enjoy, they each and every one of them had their own distinctive personality. And you talk about so many of these different animals, and each of them gave their own special gift to you. Jason was quite an individual. Now, how did Jason come into your life?
I got him shortly after I lost a very much loved Siamese. So he filled the gap. Well, I don't know if you know anything about if you've ever had a Siamese, but they kind of take over your life. And when she died,
they're phenomenal animals.
Yeah, they're very people oriented. They usually focus on one person. One of the Siamese we have now is very attached to my daughter. And there was a big gap when she died. He filled that gap, more than filled it. And it was through him I learned that animals can mourn, because he also became attached, as I'd say in the story, to my father. And when my father died, I saw that cat mourn as much as any human could.
Now, how did he express himself in that way? Because I've had people, and I know this is not true, but I've had people who have not spent very much time around animals say animals don't have any concerns about this whatsoever. They just live in the moment. They don't care. And I know that's not true. How did Jason demonstrate his sadness and his mourning?
Well, he had spent a lot of time with my father the last couple of years lying on the sofa with him. It was their evening thing. My dad had a bad heart. He would rest in the evenings, and Jason always joined him. In fact, he, as I say in the story, he would scowl at anybody who tried to sit next to my father. And then after my father died, I'd see him, Jason that is, sitting on the floor just looking at the sofa right where my father would have rested, like he was trying to figure out what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very sad, very puzzled. And for a while there, he wouldn't go into my parents' bedroom if I even carried him in there while I was getting something. He would bolt. After time, he got over that, but initially he would not go in there.
How long was it before Jason sort of made peace with the fact that his friend was gone?
I would say within a year. Maybe less. It was a long time ago, 83, so it's hard to say now. But it took him a while before he reestablished his routine. We just had one of our Abbeys put down, and I've noticed that one of the other Abbeys is mourning for her, just kind of looking around for her and not spending. She's just started to go back into the room where they used to spend a lot of time together. They seem
now,
to have their... Yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish with your...
Oh, I just said they seem to have their observances just as we do for mourning.
Very much so. I think that that is very, very true. Now, TJ Banks is my guest today. Her book, Cat Song, has so many charming stories in it, and they're all true stories about individual animals that... Through a period of 18 years, she got to know, they were friends, they were companions, and each of them has a special story of their own. TJ, what is your favorite story in this book that you put together?
That's a hard one. the ones about, the one about, well, there are several about my cat Solstice, who died a few years ago of kidney failure. And the last one, Soul Cat, I think is very special to me, because it talks about, I started writing it when I knew she was dying, and I wrote it in two parts originally, then combined it, because I found that as hard as it was facing her death, that I learned from it. And I learned as I say in the story, that there are all kinds of miracles that happen. And no, she wasn't saved, but by staying with her till the end, as I did, I found that the whole process of dying was less frightening. And I also learned a lot about how strong love is between a person and an animal.
Mm-hmm. So the exchange between animals and human beings, there's these wonderful gifts that if we're willing to take time to appreciate them. And that's one of the things with your stories that you like to convey. Now, you have been saying Abby, and I want those in my audience to know that what you're referring to are Abyssinians. And
right.
Tell us about the Abyssinians. Right. What kind of a cat are they? Because there may be some listeners that are not familiar with Abyssinians. What type of a cat are they?
It's a very old breed. It was thought to be the cat that was worshipped in ancient Egypt. It may have been, although I guess experts are now saying that they think it comes from India or that area. It's a fairly lean, muscular cat, big ears, pointed face, very energetic, a lot like a Siamese, only quiet, but very mischievous. They tend to use their paws like hands and jimmy locks and things like that. Not that they actually get them open, but they work at it.
You bring something out in your book that I was a little bit familiar with, but not totally, and I would like for you to address it, and that is declawing cats. I had no idea that when the cats were declawed, they actually removed a portion of the toe. And would you tell us what is done when a cat is declawed? There's many people that will have their kittens, especially if they're going to be in-house cats, this done so that they won't claw on furniture, won't destroy things, because when there's kittens, you know, they're not discriminating, and sometimes people have very expensive furnishings. Tell us what this involves.
Well, I've never witnessed the procedure. I just know that part of the, when they remove the nail or the claw, they have to remove part of the bone. It's essentially like losing the tip of your finger.
Mm-hmm.
And some cats do, as my cat Jason did, some cats get very traumatized by it. Others learn to adapt. Now that I know that, however, what's involved, however, I would never have another cat declawed.
Do you think most people are aware that in the process that part of the bone actually is removed?
No, I really don't think they are.
I know that was something.
Yes, what was that?
Go ahead. We're having
a... Oh, no, you go ahead.
Tell us a little bit about Zorro. Zorro was such a personality.
Oh, he still is. He's going strong at almost...
Zorro?
What's that? Zorro is almost 18.
Oh,
I think I'm losing...
Goodness.
I think I'm losing you here.
Oh, my word. Where are you? You're not on a landline?
Not that I know of, but it's just you're fading out a little bit.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't realize you were on a cell phone.
No, I'm not on a cell phone. I don't know why it's fading out.
Ah, okay. Now, Zorro's 18 years old.
Almost
18. He's quite a character. Yes, he's quite a character.
Yes, he is. He's still something of a con artist, even though he doesn't see very well. He has cataracts, so he's I guess if he were a human, he'd be legally blind. But he's still very good at getting
it. Now, you say that Zorro is a pause on healer. Tell us why you gave him that title.
Because I had noticed that sometimes if I was very stressed, he would come and sit on my lap or just sit near me, and I found myself relaxing. Now, I think a lot of cats actually do have that gift, and that's why they say that cats are very good for people with high blood pressure or heart conditions, because they do tend to relax you. Zorro just seems to have that gift more so than many of the cats I've met.
With Zorro, does he also have a deep resonating purr when he does that kind of a process?
He does, although now that he's so old, I find that I'm the one doing the Reiki or energy healing with him, because he's old, he's mostly blind, and his energy level is lower.
Now, you bring up so many, again, of your friends, and for those of you listening, this is TJ Banks. Her book is Cat Song. When you have had all of these various stories, and of course, over the 18 years, you pulled these stories together, when you share these with people, what has their response been? I know there are some people I have a very dear friend. She's an avid cat lover. She loves anything that has to do with cats. She really has a passion about them. I know of a woman down in Oregon who she has a home that is residence to 75 cats. She has assistants that help her. She rescues these cats. Do you find that by putting out these stories about cats that you link up with people that have their own unique stories to share with you?
Yeah, and I have seen at signings that when people come to buy the book, they will share stories about their cats with me. I usually have an album of pictures of the various cats who are in Cat Song. And they'll look through the album and they'll say, this one's just like so-and-so. They'll tell me a story about their cat. They'll tell me about other people who are involved in cat rescue. So that's what makes the signings for Cat Song, I think, a lot more interesting than some of the other book signings I've done. There does seem to be a rapport that gets set up almost immediately.
Is there any one story that an individual has shared with you that really was very poignant to you, that when you heard it, you just went, wow?
You know, they're all interesting to me. I did just have a woman share a story about finding a little black kitten who had been abandoned in a park, and how she was on her bike. She put the kitten in the bicycle basket, and the kitten seemed to know that she was trying to help it. You know, it had been crying pretty pitifully beforehand, and the kitten didn't try to jump out of the basket or anything, just went along with her because it knew that it was suddenly safe after being cold and hungry.
What happened to the kitten?
I think she kept it for a number of years. This was quite a while ago. She just stopped me at a local place, and she had been reading or heard of the book, and she started telling me stories about the cats she had had. And that's, like I said, what happens.
Have you had anybody tell you about a psychic cat story?
Let's see. Not per se, although I do know a woman from the Cat Writers Association, Dusty Rainbolt, who has just put together a book of ghost cat stories. And that should, that I believe is coming out any time now.
For heaven's sake.
Yeah, I don't remember who her publisher is, but if somebody were to check ghost cats on the internet, I'm sure they'd find it. And Dusty was compiling stories about ghost cats. In fact, she had used some of my story about Solstice, the abbey that I saw after she died. She used some of that story in the book.
Well, tell us about your story, your experience with your abbey that you saw after she passed away.
Well, she had died of kidney failure. We had been very, very close. I had taken care of her when she was sickly as a kitten. She was just one of those animals that comes along in any animal lover's life. I think that they're just part of you. You know, you love them all, but some of them are more part of you than others. And when she died, it was very, very difficult. I was raking one day outside several weeks after she died and just saw her sitting there in the garden very clearly in detail. And that was unusual because I think, I don't know about most people, but I know that when I'm trying to remember somebody who has passed on, I usually just remember bits and pieces. I can't call up a whole face unless I'm looking at a photo. And
so you saw her in photos. I said, I don't think that that's unusual.
Yeah, I think that sometimes there's a book by another writer about animals and how the, I think it's called The Heart That Is Loved Remembers. And I think that even after they pass on, they do remember, they do come if you need them. And maybe she felt I needed her then.
Well, I think she gave you a wonderful gift by appearing to you in that way, and then that in that gift it made you aware that, as you had said earlier, death wasn't something to be afraid of, and those that you love are going to be there with you. With this book, do you think you're going to be writing more stories about cats? Is this something that is just a book that's a one-time item, or are you going to continue on with your novel, since that is your passion apparently in another level?
I think I'll probably be doing both. I certainly have the animals enough to give me material, and yet I also like the novel writing. But one of the things I find is that people really want the animal stories. Those are the ones that seem to touch a chord. And maybe it's just because we live in such a fragmented world that our animals are sometimes the ones we're closest to.
Well, I think animals give us so much, and often they can be our companions, our comrades. When we're in a snit of a mood, they love us no matter what, or they'll be very patient. I have Scottish Terriers, and I know they just seem to know when they need to be close, and other times when it's like, uh-oh, Mom's in one of her moods. I think I better stay outside.
They are very good that way. And
yes, they are.
I think the other thing is that we all know that when we're going through a really bad patch for whatever reason, sometimes people say the wrong thing. And animals never say the wrong thing. So that's kind of easier being around an animal sometimes if you're going through a very tough period.
Yes, and I have found in my experience with cats that if they feel that you are anyway out of place and your manners need to be improved, they definitely let you know. They have their own way of teaching you the right way to do things. It's really fascinating when you are aware of animals. And I've noticed the same thing with birds. There's this camaraderie that I think that can evolve. And when someone is sensitive to that, as obviously you are sensitive with the cats and with what your experience has been over the years, you just really convey that in the stories that are in this book cat song. Now, TJ, do you have a website that people can go to if they want to find out more about your publications?
No, I used to, but I don't maintain it anymore. So I guess the best way for people to contact me would be through my publisher.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The best way for people to contact me would be through my publisher, Publishing Works.
Publishing Works. But you can get this through any bookstore. It's Cat Song. TJ Banks is the author here. Now, TJ, you have had so many wonderful animals who have lightened up your life. What kind of thoughts would you like to leave with my listeners? You belong to the Cat Writers Association. You are involved in so many different levels of writing. What final thoughts would you like to leave with my listeners today?
Just that animals, as we've been saying, add an incredible richness to our lives. And without them, I think we'd be a lot lonelier. I can't imagine a world without them. And we need to treat them with the kind of kindness we would show to another human being.
TJ Banks has been my guest today. Her book is Cat Song. It would make a charming gift for the person that absolutely loves cats. These are 8 stories that were written over an 18-year period about animals that have had a significant place in her life. And, again, you can get it through Amazon.com, any of the major bookstores. What I would like to share with you before we close out the interview is a poem that she wrote for her cat, Stormy, whose heart stopped unexpectedly one June morning. And this is how the poem reads that TJ wrote. After a storm's passing, the air is calm, almost considerate. The colors sharper and the shore peaceful beyond reckoning. But when you, with your ruddy Abyssinian face, quizzical green eyes, and playful bounding spirit passed out of our lives so suddenly, so inexplicably, you left a grief too big for us to hold. Your afterglow lingers shimmering in the swishing field grasses that you, an outdoor cat, could not explore. In the yellow, red, and orange daylilies almost as vibrant as you, in all places wild and untamable, you, with your cougar grace and satiny coat, left us bereft on a lonely shore, our world all the grayer for your going. A poem written because the animal is very much missed. TJ Banks, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know the telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227, if you'd like to call in and chat with me. That's 877-876-5227. Also, for those of you in Canada, we have a toll-free number of 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Now, for those of you in Washington State, I want to let you know I'm going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show on March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We'll be in booth number 406. It's going to be quite an exciting time. I'm really looking forward to participating in this dynamic activity. It's once a year here in the Pacific Northwest, and it is just go, go, go from the time you get there until you leave. So from 10 o'clock in the morning until 6 in the evening on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there is going to be so much going on. It is totally gal time, and it is wonderful. So I hope you'll stop by the booth, say hello. And each day I will be giving a presentation, and they have different speaking areas throughout the event. And so I will be doing that, and I look forward to interacting with you. Also, for those of you listening in New York City, I'm going to be doing a very short appearance back in New York City. I will be available before a short window of time for private consultations, and if that is something you'd like to schedule with me, that will be over the last weekend in March. And you can reach me at my office, which is 800-872-8852. I'm going to be appearing at the National Publicity Summit, where I meet authors from all over the country. I've been invited to be back there and to interact with about 100 people that I'm going to be chatting with. And it's always quite an event. You know, there's so many talented people that live so many different and unique experiences. So I feel very fortunate that I'm able to interact with them as I do. This has just been delightful. If you are a person that sometimes feels that you just wonder, what is it you could do differently that might make an impression on someone? Well, sometimes it's going that extra step, giving that little bit of extra something. Let me tell you about a Mr. Boswell. He owned a business, and he was looking for a particular young man, a personality type that he wanted to hire. And there were several young men that responded to the ad that he happened to put in his local paper. However, after interviewing them, he had narrowed his choice down to three. Their names were Ted, John, and Bob. Now, he devised a particular test. He gave each of them a new screwdriver set. Oh, I didn't tell you. His business was that of dealing in hardware items. He had a hardware store. He gave each of these young men a new screwdriver set with a very innovative design and told them to deliver it to Mr. C.M. Henderson at a particular address on Maple Street. Well, the one young man, Ted, phoned the store to ask whether the number was actually 413 rather than 314 because he couldn't find the address. Well, the other young man, John, came back to the store and said that 314 Maple, which was the address, was a funeral parlor. And Mr. Henderson had lived at 314 and a half, but had moved away. Now, the third young man, whose name was Bob, took him a lot longer before he came back to the store. Like the young man John, he also discovered that Mr. Henderson had moved away. However, John took the extra step. He found out where Mr. Henderson had moved to, and he had gone there. And Mr. Henderson didn't recall ordering the screwdriver, but While he was there, Bob pointed out its unique features and told him the price, and Mr. Henderson decided that he wanted the screwdriver and paid for it on the spot. Now, which one of these young men do you think was hired? Of course. It didn't take too much to figure that one out, did it? It was Bob. He was given a task to do, and he did the task. And I think so many times that's a lesson we need to learn. And often in our world today, we have what I call the 30-second attention span. Oh, heavens, I know. I've been guilty of it myself. Sometimes we get frustrated. We say, why should we do this? There must be an easier way. And we fuss and we fret because we have to spend a lot of time on getting something done where we'd like to do it just within a short period of time. So we sort of skim by. But have you ever noticed that those people that are really, really good at what they do don't try to skim by? They really don't. They really give it that extra something, that extra bit of energy, because that's what they have to do. Because that's their standard. That is their mark of excellence. That is where they want to put themselves. And I think that that is something we need to encourage our young kids, our children, to do. It's amazing to me how many times adults will expect children to be patient, and the adults themselves have about as much patience as a snap of a finger. So who's going to teach what by example? So if you want to be an example yourself, remember, giving that extra bit of time to make sure that something is done well is very important. That saying, you never have a second chance to make a first impression, is a very significant one. Do you know that most of us evaluate and size up people within less than 30 seconds? It really makes a difference. Now, I'm not saying that you can't make a mistake or a misjudgment about a person. But many times it will just take a little bit of energy and apply something. Show that we're willing to go that extra mile, that extra step. To make sure that we have quality, we're going to come out way ahead. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to give me a call, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz at our toll-free numbers for the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. We also have another phone line of 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. Well, let me let you know about who's coming on next week. Boy, we have a great lineup of people. We're going to be talking about ghosts. Oh, what a fun topic. There's always stories to tell about ghosts. Dana Smoller is going to be my guest, and we're going to be talking about the ghosts of New Orleans. Ah, yes, and you have to know they've got some doozies there. And then we're going to be talking with a nurse, Elaine Delac. Elaine has suffered from MS. This is a nurse that has walked a road of learning and experience that is bringing healing to many people. She has a book that she put out called They Said It Didn't Make Sense, C-E-N-T-S, The Pro-Karen Story. This is something you're not going to want to miss. This is excellent information. And if you're in business for yourself, a small business owner, Gianna Poole is going to be with us. When Your Small Business Is You, Marketing Handbook. Wonderful insights. Also, Bob Buccio, we're going to be talking with him about how to make space for ourselves. Oh, sometimes do you feel as if life has got you in a vice, and if you don't get some space, you're going to be ready to scream? Well, Bob is going to tell us some wonderful ways of being able to get that space. And then Jennifer Loudon is going to be our guest, and she's going to be telling us how we can organize life better, a life organizer. Hey, with all of this, we're just going to be just moving along just smooth as silk. We just got some wonderful people that are going to share it with us, some wonderful tips and insights, so you're not going to want to miss any of it. I wanted to share just a few thoughts with you, too, today. I don't know about you, but Do you get Buku emails? Do you find that your spam filter somehow doesn't always get all the spam? And are you like me? You have to check your spam filter, because if you don't, sometimes the messages that are significant are in your spam file. Yes, it takes time. It always takes time. Not only do we have to deal with snail mail today, opening up envelopes and making sure that we have all of our documents and keep our bills in the right spot and throw away all of the extra mail stuff that we get, but we also have to do the same with email. And even though we're not dealing with paper, we still have to deal with time. Well, with the advent of email, naturally, we feel like we have immediate communication. Well, sometimes that is the case, and sometimes it isn't. I've had emails disappear into cyberspace and not being able to figure out where in the world they went to. Well, because of this, because of the speed, many times people find their attention spans are very short, and there's a lot of a very competitive type of an attitude. I want you to be sure that whatever you're sending is going to be getting some attention. Now, there is some good information from Janice Chan. She's a business writing instructor, and she's been involved with it for 25 years, and she has some tips regarding email that I think are really worth paying attention to. She said, before you write an email, whether, you know, for a memo, letter, or report, ask yourself, why are you writing it? What is the action, or what do you want to deliver in that email? And when you figure the answer out, you want to state it clearly and concisely right at the beginning of your message. Short, sweet, and to the point. Very, very important. Also, she said you need to pay attention to grammar and punctuation and proofread the email message for typos before you hit send. Oh, if you're like me, sometimes you're in such a hurry and you think you've got it right, and then you look back and you go, uh-oh, I goofed. So it's very important, especially when you're sending business communication, that you pay attention to those things, because it gives an image about you. Also, edit the message. You want to make sure that you've told whoever's going to be reading your emails that what they need to know to make a decision, to take action, and that you eliminate any unnecessary information. Trust me, people are very busy with time. And all of this is additional involvement of time. I talk to so many people that are getting buku emails like I get, and they go, I just don't know how I'm going to be able to get through all of this. And lots of times you get cutesy stuff from friends, you get all kinds of things, and you've got to be able to go through it. So if it's business, you want to be sure that you keep it short, sweet, and to the point. Also, there's so many other things, but let's take a break here. And when we come back, I'll share some more of these things regarding email. And I've also got some other goodies that I want to share with you. This is Donna Sebo, 877-8765-227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green, March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily, at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. I want to just finish up these few tips about email. Use active, clear, concise language when you're doing your email. It's very, very important. Also, be careful of the tone of your message. Sometimes people are not all that careful about how they write, and so sometimes a tone with the written word can maybe convey misinformation that you would not bear. And you want to be sure above all, that your subject that you're sending via email is appropriate. If your content is sensitive or confidential, don't use email. Don't do that. Phone or in-person meeting, so you just don't want to use email if anything is highly confidential. It's so very, very important. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We were talking about cats earlier, and I had some information on some people that have gone into businesses regarding pet services on so many different levels and developing even pet products. And there's one young lady that I think is absolutely awesome. Her name is Mariana Tosca. Now, she's an actress who lives in Burbank, California, and she has been able to do something that's created a business for her that in a million years she never ever thought she would be involved with. Now, she really loves animals, absolutely loves dogs. And she said she just one time decided to create a birthday present for a friend, and her friend was turning 10 years of age, and she wanted to give a real special gift. It was going to be very memorable for this landmark occasion, as she said. She said, what does my friend really love? What does he really, really love in his life? Well, it was so simple because he had this wonderful dog, Casey, and she said he just, that animal was just a very significant part of his life. So she said he loved his dogs the way I loved my dogs. So under false pretenses, what she did, she shot some footage of her friend and his dog together and then edited her video footage to a particular arrangement of music and just put this whole thing together. It was about a half hour in length and gave that as a birthday gift. It meant so much to her friend and to the people that viewed it because it was so beautifully done. She started getting requests for this. Well, she now has a business called Canine Cinema, and her website is caninecinema.com, and she said it has just been so much fun. Now, since 2003, she has produced more than 100 movies, 3 of which are focused on cat owner camaraderie under a new branch of her business, Feline Films, for Please Customers. And she said she has done films to try to help animals get adopted, and she said it's just been so rewarding to her. She's very much involved with the Glendale Humane Society, and she said, I'm so pleased that what I've done with my films has enabled the Humane Society to find homes for so many of these animals that otherwise would have been ignored. The adoption rate has gone up 300% since she's been doing this. So it's just wonderful what people are able to come up with, and I think here she's doing something she really loves. She's developed a business, and again, a million years she would have never have thought was going to be her experience, and she is absolutely as pleased as she can be. Also, the people that are getting these films from her are happy to, because it gives them a wonderful memento of those wonderful pals that they have in their lives. And I know how much our Scotties mean to us. It's just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Now, you know, we are going to find that as we move along through our life, there is just more and more that we're going to become educated on. And little did I ever suspect that I would get an education regarding sheets. Do you know sheets can be made from bamboo? I didn't know that. Seaweed? Didn't know that either. Well, this is something that is very, very much the in thing. A lot of people are wanting to be environmentally conscious about the products that they purchase. Now, here are some things about sheets that if you're really concerned about various issues, you might want to know about. There is a fiber that comes from the beech tree, and it retains color better after washing than straight cotton, and it also tends to pill less, the little tiny round balls of cotton material that will form on certain sheets. So we have beech trees that they're using to produce sheets from. Bamboo, not only is it environmentally friendly, bamboo sheets wick sweat and get increasingly softer over time. We're going to see more and more bamboo products because bamboo is so easy to grow and it is so environmentally friendly, and it can be used for flooring. Sheets, I didn't have a clue, but it is. And seaweed. Seaweed has a very strong fiber that wears extremely well, and it is very silky and maintains a very high clarity of color. And there is a company, Wellspun, that definitely is involved in using seaweed for producing sheets. And also, something that they have been doing with sheets that I didn't know about, they've been adding vitamin E and aloe vera, which enrich your skin. They're adding this to sheet texture finish. And the one thing we have to be aware of is that these texture finishes, after so many washings, eventually are going to be gone. But here again, innovative ideas, how can we work with the environment, how can we user-friendly products that are going to make the environment healthier and better and make our lives healthier and better as well. So one thing, we never stop learning and we never stop growing. Well, we're almost out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Don't forget, on Monday, we're going to be talking about the ghosts of New Orleans. And for those of us here at bbsradio.com, we're so delighted that you join us every day. And remember, our shows are archived, so if you happen to miss one, you're going to be able to listen at your leisure to anyone that you desire. And it's so important for you to know that we appreciate your comments. We're interested in what you would like to hear. If there's something that you feel in the way of subject matter that would be worthy of our being considering, to have on any of our programming, do let us know. We like hearing from you. We like your comments, good, bad, or indifferent. We like to know that we make a difference in your life, because that's how we feel about what we do. We want to make this place that we're living in, this world we're living in, richer and better on so many levels. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. It's been a delight spending this hour with you. Take care, God bless, and have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.